Our scripture this morning is from 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 6 to 10. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So now we turn to the Gospel according to Mark. And as in our tradition, if you're able, we will stand for the reading. Our reading comes from Mark chapter 4, verses 26 to 34. You can follow along in your pew Bible, which is on page 36. You can follow on the big screen, or if you're using a big print Bible, as I am, it starts on page 38. Hear these words. He also said, Jesus, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and raise night and day, and the seeds would sprout and grow, and he does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come. He also said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, this is going to be long and painful. So last week, if you remember last week, Pastor Peter basically spoke of fruit of the Spirit. And he also had a reading of a healing of a hand on the Sabbath. And that started me thinking about the healing part and all the different healings that have happened in the Bible. And it came upon two that were healed of the same thing. Healed from blindness. Their sight was restored. And it's the John 9 guy and it's the Mark 8 guy. You know, the John 9 guy was blind from birth, and Jesus healed him by making spit in the dirt, creating mud, rubbing it on his eyes, and telling him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash it off. The Mark 8 guy, Jesus spit in his eyes, laid his hands on him, asked him if he could see, not clearly, laid his hands on him again, and he saw clearly. Now, this is my mind. These two meet. And the Mark 8 guy says, "So, Jesus restored your sight too." And the John 9 guy goes, "Yes. He made mud with his spit and rubbed it on my eyes." Mark, "Wow. Then what?" John, "He told me to go to the pool of Siloam, wash my face, and when I did, I could see." John says to the Mark guy, "How did Jesus restore your sight?" And Mark, "Well, he rubbed his spit onto my eyes, and then he laid his hands on me." John, "What? Laid his hands on me twice till I saw clearly." John 9, "No mud, no washing." Mark 8, "No, just spit and laying of hands." John 9, "Are you sure it was Jesus?" And on that day, two denominations were formed: the Muddites and the Anti-Muddites. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he was talking about our individual bodies, which when we come together, form the church, becoming the body of Christ. Why? Why the body of Christ? Because that's exactly what it is. That's what we are. The church is the very means by which God expresses his physical presence here on earth. Where else do we see Christ more fully realized, more wholly presented, more passionately worshiped, and more deeply understood? When people want to get as physically close to God as they possibly can, where do they go? Where can they go but the church? And without the people that belong and support it, a church is nothing more than an empty building. It might as well house a post office or a restaurant. The church is Christ's body on earth. It's where and how in our world God lives, breathes, moves, and acts. It's how he nurtures his believers, how he reaches out to and provides for those who don't yet know him. Once you have felt Christ within you come alive, once you acknowledge and acquiesce to the truth of the reality of God within you, you do become a cell in the body of Christ on earth. And going to church, regularly communing with a bunch of other living, breathing cells of that same body is the means by which you discover how the cell you are is meant to contribute to the functioning and the betterment of that whole body. One grounding for the church as the body of Christ is in 1 Corinthians 12, where we read, "Now to each one of us, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one of us just as he determines. The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body was an eye, where the sense of hearing would be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all of one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. What a great setup! Well, until a foot starts wanting to do what only an ear can do, or an eye wants to start talking, that's where things really get messed up. But when people come together using their gifts to serve each other, it's like something right out of heaven. So, getting back to the Muddites and the anti-Muddites, why are there so many Christian denominations? In America today, there are some 1,500 Protestant denominations and upwards to 30,000 worldwide. The real question is why there aren't even more Christian denominations. If you have a sibling, or you know anybody who has a sibling, or know anyone at all, actually, then you already have a pretty good idea of why there are so many Christian denominations. People sure like to do things their own way, don't they? What's important to remember about Protestant denominations is that their differences are slight compared to the magnitude of all the beliefs they hold in common. Those beliefs are encapsulated in what are known as the five solas. Sola is Latin for alone or only. The solas are the slogans or saying around which the great reformers of the 16th century rallied, and which Protestants still firmly uphold, formulated in contradistinction to the teaching of the era's Roman Catholic Church. These are sola, and forgive my Latin, I'm English. I can't find a phonetic thing for Latin. So sola fide, faith alone, meaning We can't save ourselves through works. We can't earn our way into heaven. We are saved by faith, and faith only. Sola gratia, grace alone, meaning grace, which is freely bestowed by God, is more than necessary for the salvation of our souls and for our faith in Him who saves. Rather, grace is sufficient for our salvation and our faith. Sola Christus, Christ alone, meaning in order to be saved, we need no one, no mediator, no priest, no bishop, no nobody, but Jesus Christ. Sola Scriptura, Scripture alone, meaning there is one God, and the Bible is His Word. No other authority is necessary or preferred. In the Bible, we have the mind and the heart of God, equally accessible to all. Soli Deo Gloria, the glory of God alone, meaning praise, supplicate yourself, turn to, be dependent upon, and be grateful to no one and certainly to no thing except to the one God to whom all glory rightfully belongs and from whom all glory radiates. Those are the major beliefs of Protestant Christians, no matter what their denomination. It is beyond these core convictions that well-meaning, smart, learned, spiritually sophisticated people begin to differ relative to finer or more abstruse points of faith. Some Christians believe that anyone can be saved at any time. Others believe that only those predestined by God to be saved will be saved. Some believe that once you are saved, there is nothing you can do to render yourself unsaved. Others say it's entirely possible for a person to get themselves kicked right off of Team Saved. Some hold that a proper baptism always involves an adult believer being totally immersed. Others maintain that a few drops of water on an infant is enough. Some believe women should be in the highest clerical echelons. Others argue that women should be mostly seen and not heard. Some think music enhances worship. Others think it detracts. Some like to dance and shout when worshiping. Others prefer to remain reflective and quiet. Some sit throughout their services. Others have no chairs or pews in their sanctuaries at all. People differ. And Americans, having originated from every place in the world, bring to the table of Christianity innumerable histories, inclinations, convictions, and traditions. When you think denominations, think history. And history is one vast, complex panorama. Lutheranism began in Germany. Methodism began in England. Presbyterianism began in Scotland. The Reformed churches began in Switzerland. Churches fundamentally and always about God. The fullest manifestation of God's nature is the love that his children spontaneously share with one another. In church, there are only holy spirits in bodily form, blessedly basking together in the light that illuminates the light of each and every one of them. May it be so. Amen.